Town and Borough Zoning Board, Wednesday, 25th of September, 2019.
My understanding is appeal number 820. I have a question about the numbering of the appeals. You have notes?
Yes, it's supposed to be 819 is a correct reference to the Dunn appeal.
So the first one is 819, then 820 is the Kaplan.
Correct.
And 821 would have been.
Well, those are the one too.
The Gardner's Garden.
Yeah, and that got withdrawn.
Call this meeting in order of the zoning board and start with the first appeal. Appeal number 819, request of David Dunn of 39 Oakview Drive, Moreland, 128 Lakefront, area variance pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 10, Section 149-59A. Applicant is requesting that the board allow a shed that was built in 2004 that does not meet the side yard setbacks remainder. The property is located in the R2 zoning district and is designated as 77.7-2-27 on the town assessment map. Okay, Mr. Dunn? I know you described it already in the discussions.
A year ago yesterday, I moved into the neighborhood from upstate New York and probably 3 or 4 days after I moved in, I was told by the next door neighbor that this was an illegal shed and it had been put there illegally. I said, everything in our title search went through. There's no action against this shed at this point that I can understand. I said, there's nothing that I can do about it. And the next thing I knew, I was questioned with our zoning administration and the building inspector as far as what I'm going to do about this. It's been there for 15 years. It has never been brought up, as far as I know, in front of you gentlemen. And I just want to leave it just the way it is. I can't move it closer to my house because it's built right into the blacktop, comes right to it. And it's it imposes, I believe, by about 7 or 10 feet somewhere because it's at a slight angle to the lot line, is 85 feet away from my my neighbor's home.
How many feet?
85 feet away from the home.
Okay. And we did get some correspondence by virtue of email exchanges between Matt Drymiller and a neighbor. I provided those to you as well. But that's all that's come in. It was properly noticed, and we didn't get any written comments.
If I may say so, the photos that I show is that about 80% of the homes in our neighborhood do have outbuildings and sheds. It's not an uncommon thing to have this.
And just to quantify the relief, the violation is of the side yard setback, which is required to be 15 feet. This is in the R2 district. So as I understand it from the application, the shed now is approximately 5.5 feet off the line, so there'd be 9.5 feet of relief required, or 63%, to quantify it.
And that's in your findings.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
descriptive of what we're going, the process that we're doing here. This is unusual because it's never been, it's been...
Could you speak up a little bit, please?
Sure. Yeah, I will try. Area variances in general, you know, area variances are usually not easy to obtain, but they're... we tend to look favorably on area variance. I mean, it can't be too outrageous, but it's generally something that we look at. You know, who's trying very hard to accommodate the neighborhood and the applicants. And let me ask if there are comments from the just to ask if you, before you speak, can you tell us who you are and where you live?
I'm the next door neighbor, Rusty Santos.
Okay.
Wall 1.
Okay.
Overview Drive.
Okay.
And I have a five-year statement.
Okay. Yes.
But first, the shed is only one, less than a foot off the line. So let me read my statement here. The shed we are discussing here tonight was built by an off-duty building inspector, James Greenwood, without a permit or regard of any laws regarding setbacks. I objected to Mr. Greenwood and the owner of the property, Dan O'Leary, as to the setback requirements. Neither would answer me. I noticed also that there was no building permit displayed at the time. I called the supervisor at that shortly after and wanted to know who the building inspector was. He wanted to know who the building inspector
was. We can't hear him, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. We can't hear him. I'm sorry.
Gary, too, I think it might be instructive for anybody who might be here for the Condon hearing to tell them that that application has been withdrawn.
Yes.
That's why I'm trying to explain to one of these.
Sorry, but we were getting interference, so I want to hear you.
I think I did say that, does everybody know that the Condon hearing?
The Condon hearing has been postponed, or, well, withdrawn.
Withdrawn.
Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. I called Supervisor Cattell shortly after, and he wanted to know who the building inspector was who built the illegal shed. At the time, I didn't want to give up his name. I said, why don't you ask both of them? At the time, there was two, Joe Patrick and Henson. Both denied building the shed. I kept calling Mr. Cattell, and he just kept saying, they both denied building the shed. So I said, so we just allow illegal activity, I asked. So I said, well, send both to inspect the shed and let one issue a complaint to the owner. That would have been fun to watch. I said, one is lying to you. Dan pulled me, the late owner, and asked if I would back off before his buddy was fired. I told Dan that I had to protect my investment. With that monster shed, 1 foot from my property line, I saw an ugly eyesore and I lost the value to my home. But finally, I identified Mr. Greenwood as the culprit. He was quiet. I asked Mr. Cattell, what about the shed? He said he was looking in on it. I saw the handwriting on the wall. The town and road building department had and has had many problems finding and enforcing building code violations. And nothing else would happen with the connections Mr. O'Leary had in the building department. One day, Mr. O'Leary asked me if my wife had called the building department asking what the disposition of the illegal shed was. I told him my wife didn't call. A female neighbor, I suspect, on the block was told by Mrs. Perez who was taken care of, according to Mr. O'Leary. So you see there's a problem. He has very many connections in town. A few years ago, my neighbor at number 45, Oakwood Drive, had to move his shed he placed too close to his property line at 43, Oakwood Drive. In an email to Mr. Dremel, the building inspector, he stated Mr. Dunn was going to move the illegal shed soon. Mrs. Dunn played that and kept delaying the action, and here we are tonight. Mr. Dremel also wrote me there and said there are multiple sheds in the development with sheds too close to the property lines. So, you know, I wonder why we have a building department, because they're not enforcing. You drive around town and you see a lot of violations. So, I leave it up to you, gentlemen. Do your job.
Yeah, there's a dispute over that, how close this is.
Right.
There's a dispute over how close this shed is to the property line.
What was said, 5 feet?
5.5 feet.
No way.
Well, that's how do we know? How do we know?
Property markers.
You use the property markers?
Yes.
And went, like, ran straight or what?
Went straight. And on the, there's a map, I believe I handed you.
Yes.
And that's what I used for the reference, and that was town property. I was giving that to the building department.
This right here?
Yes, sir. I may add, there was a building permit, and there was also a sign-off on that building permit that's completed. And it's
for the shed?
Yes, for that shed. Back in 2004.
Well, if there's a permit, I'd love to see if it was got to be fraudulent. It was never a permit. Why would they fire a building inspector?
I would like to have him. I'd like Jim to be
here. Gentlemen,
yeah. You know what we need? We need the staff person back here.
So I think before we, the man that just stepped outside there talking, Jim, he's the zoning administrator. I would like him to be back because I want to get some verification about the building or not. Well, that's an important part.
Why would they fire a building inspector?
I've been on this board for a long time, over 15 years now. I don't remember anything about a variance coming before us. I don't remember. And I don't believe Mr. Greenwood was fired.
Yeah, I never heard of Mr. Greenwood being fired.
Not Mr. Tremblay.
Greenwood.
Greenwood, yeah, he did. Yeah. Well, he was let go. They let him go.
He actually left and went to the town of Wilton. As the building inspector.
I know for, I was told he was let go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, could you send him the problem?
Yes.
I see him where? Do
you want to see the property line, or is that?
Yeah,
is that,
that I can point something out.
There's the property. There's the property.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. We just wanted that there's been some statements made that I thought you might be able to shed some light on.
Okay.
Here's the shed.
Yes.
Does that look like 5 feet?
Well, I don't think this wasn't. This is. He didn't do it for scale. The drawing is there. He wrote the shed in.
Right. There's a pig here, mm-hmm. And there's a very big in the front. Right. You got the electric box.
Right.
If you come to my house, or his, our houses, and look down the line, there's a fence in the back, right on the neighbor in the back put the fence right on the property line. Then
there's
of course
a
stair. You stay in the front of the electric box. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Well, there's a post. There's also a marker.
Yeah.
In back.
He was saying that there was. He says there was never a building permit for the shed, and the owner of the property says that there is a building permit for the shed. Was there a building permit for the shed?
To my understanding, again, I wasn't here.
Right.
There was not a permit.
There was not a permit.
Mr. Drymiller is the one that said there was a permit.
Oh, that's, is that the previous owner?
No, that's Matt Drymiller.
That's our new owner.
Yes. Yes.
He said there was a permit and also a what he called a CC. It was
circular occupancy. Yeah.
And he said that was something that was on record here in this building, I believe.
That's him. Where'd it go? Here's the shed. Those trees are mine. I planted them near, well, near the wall. Does that look like 5 feet to you?
Well, the truth of the matter is, what it looks like and doesn't look like to me is not really that relevant. I mean,
we can have the property line verified.
I need to visit the site. I'll put up a sprinkler.
You don't have to be servant. I can't. I'm not a servant. I can't do that.
I can't. You want to resurvey it?
No, you can run a string from one thing to the other. It's a clear shadow.
But that's the side. Those little trees there. Well, right up. Well, just off the line a little bit. It's definitely not 5 feet. If it was 5 feet, it would be okay. State law is 5 feet. Correct?
No. We would have to give relief to have it be 5 feet.
Well, actually,
it's 15 feet. And if it was under 100 feet, it's 140 square feet. If it was under 100 square feet, it wouldn't even need, it doesn't fall under a permit or setbacks.
No.
Is there a setback reduced?
Oh, yeah. I don't believe 100, under 100 foot doesn't have to be unit at the permit. Under 100 square feet. Right, square feet. And this is 140 square feet, it's 4 feet by 10. That was the first thing I looked at. I wanted to see what size it was.
It still would have to meet the setback requirements.
I don't believe so, because it doesn't have to, as long as it doesn't have your property, I think under 100 square feet, it's not an issue. Because that you don't have to have a permit. The permit process is what gives you, this is your setbacks, this and that. If it's under 100 square feet, you don't fall into that category.
Oh, you're talking about shed.
Yeah, right. That's even true in Glens Falls. I just made an application offer for permit in Glens Falls for one of our buildings to put a shed on. And if it was under 100 square feet, they wouldn't even open it.
Okay, so we have basically it's kind of difficult because it's been there a long time. That makes this difficult with the sense, but it doesn't necessarily. So what we're going to do, let's review this as if this, you know, well, it is there, but let's review it in terms of our
criteria.
Our criteria. Does that make sense to the board?
Yes.
So let me read the criteria for an area variance. The first is whether an undesirable change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties will be created by the granting of the area variance. Okay. And that's a judgment. Mr. Dunning has given us a number of pictures of other sheds and similar. And I think that in this neighborhood there are a lot of sheds. From what I can see, and probably a lot of sheds that are fairly close to the building. That suggests to me that's not unusual. And I think your letter, some of your correspondence, Mr. DeSantis, says that's not at all uncommon in this area.
The sheds.
The sheds.
Well, you said there's a lot of legal sheds. But is that too wrong to make a right?
Well, we're not talking about wrong or right. Yeah. We're talking about the character of the neighborhood. And what is in the neighborhood. Okay. And it suggests to me that this fits in with the character of the neighborhood. And the pictures that I've seen suggest that it does as well. It's not a shack. It seems to fit in.
Yeah, I drove through and I always used black and white out through there, and it never jumped out to me as something that was out of place or an eyesore.
benefit sought by the applicant can be achieved by some method feasible for the applicant to pursue other than an area variance. And this is kind of a big part of it for me. Have you looked into moving that shed?
I didn't build it, so I'm not sure how it's actually built. But it is right up to our driveway, which...
So you don't know if he built it on a platform like your Amish sheds or something like that? You don't know if he might have put posts into the ground or...
I'm not positive.
It's stick built by the building inspector.
Right.
It's the blacktop, that's the second driveway. So
excuse me?
He made himself a ramp. It could be backed off and moved.
You would have to cut the driveway in order to take it back out and move it in. And then within...
You would have to cut the driveway?
You would have... The driveway comes up to the front of the shed. Oh. And then loops around to go into those garage doors that you happen to see. Where then you would have to cut the driveway in order to move it up, and that would also reduce a little bit of...
Oh, you're saying move it back in, just move it back in.
To move it back in.
But I guess our question is there another feasible place on the property to put the shed?
Feasible?
Well, I mean...
You could put it anywhere, I suppose.
Well, no, that's the issue. You can't put it anywhere. So the question is how much of a... I've had sheds moved before, so I mean, I know that it can be done. Mm-hmm. If they're built like an Amish shed, which everybody buys. So, I mean, is it feasible to do that? The cost is not horrendous. There is a cost.
There's a big cost. And I guess I'd throw this back out. We're 15 years into this.
Why
was this question not asked 12?
And I totally understand that. And I totally
you waited for a new owner to the property before you pressed this issue.
Right. And I think that's why we're wanting to be cautious in how we deal with this. But we always have to do it. I kind of thought then you can begin to read your. But one of the questions is there a feasible alternative? So that's why we have to ask these questions.
Monetarily, it is a cost. And it's something that when we bought the property, there was no judgment against this property at all. Went through title search.
There was no indication that there was any issue.
Absolutely none until I was there for 3 days.
It's always fun.
Welcome.
Well, you know, you pointed out that this was a stick-built shed. It was not a modular. It was not
built on first the platform, then the shed.
So moving it would be...
Well, you might not get a mover that would be willing to do it because those sheds, the Amish sheds, have runners on the bottom that they pull up on. You know, if you look at the way they're designed, and if yours is just a stick build, it wouldn't have it. So you're absolutely correct. It would be much more expensive to move that shed if it could be moved.
And it is 15 years old at this point.
Right.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's pretty substantial. It's a large shed, 10 by 14. That's good size. Mm-hmm. Okay, any other comments from the board and questions?
I guess I would add a question, Jim. If we were to entertain this, there seems to be a dispute about the property line.
Okay.
If we were to entertain giving the relief, how would we be able to verify that the shed was 5.5 feet off the line? Would we be able to have the, like, he could run a string from, you said the front, the back post, or
the back post is marked very easily, and I believe on there it shows that it is a certain corner of the electrical box. I believe it's marked as such, correct?
But there must be a post, there's got to be a pin up there.
Well, it would have to be inside that electrical box.
The pin should be in front of that electrical box.
There is.
The pin should be right in front of that electrical box.
I don't want to go on somebody's property.
Right, I understand. But I mean,
I use the corner of the electrical box.
So the question would be,
it's the center of the electrical box, if anything. But there is a peg there because me and Mr. O'Leary put mulch there.
Yeah.
was revealing. So if he could find the pen, he could put a stick with a string that runs across the top of the, because those power transformers are not that high.
I mean, I can appreciate what you're saying. It's a practical approach, but, you know, given the attention to this, and if it has risen to this level of importance to each of the respective property owners, I mean, I got to recommend that, yeah, you know, a surveyor, you know, confirm the line. And so, and make sure that is also, once the line is found and set, that it is a mutually acceptable line, that both parties are in agreement that is the location. Because, you know, we're talking about things here now that, you know, as we often talk about with these area variances, sometimes we get down into the inches. I always tell people this when they come in and see me about any property matter. I always encourage people to get surveys of their property because it's the most valuable asset that you own.
I agree.
And you should understand what the limits of your ownership are.
If Mr. Dunn was using the corner of the box, I don't know which corner, left or right, but in that development, every electric box, and even the one that's lower, they did a good job of putting them right on the property line, because each of my neighbors had it surveyed.
And see, and just the type of explanations you're hearing are the reason why it's good to get a surveyor to do this, because there's various impressions of where this line is and where the pin sets, and because on this length of a line, if that pin is 3 or 4 inches off one way or the other, that's going to affect the angle and the dimension for some distance. So I would really recommend that this be confirmed by a surveyor. And in deference to the cost, you know, I do think there is some value to each property owner reconfirming this line.
Well, I support that. You know that I've said before that I think that even before a building decision, there's people that don't have the lines completely surveyed, and they should. You have a survey. When I put my shed, my barn at the back, I had my line shot and marked. So when the building inspector came, I said, there's the marks from the surveying company, and you can measure out to where I'm putting my building. So there's something to be said to that.
Excuse me. Would there be any onus to the fact that there was a building permit and the CC was done, and it's supposedly on record?
Well,
shouldn't that have been the kind of the coup de grace that a permit was drawn up and a certificate of occupancy or completion was actually done?
I think that would be wonderful. I'm disappointed that you weren't given a copy of that. That should have been presented to us here at the meeting. Because he's questioning whether there was a permit.
There is.
And so that if he told you there was a permit, you brought that copy with you, that would certainly help us too. But we don't have that. We don't have any knowledge of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have a few disagreements on facts. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that we establish those facts.
I mean, I don't think, yeah.
I would encourage you, if you have some outstanding, you know, unresolved issues here, and there does appear to be, and rightly so, a heightened level of importance here, among the property owners, you know, just I would recommend to get the, you know, everything tied down sufficiently.
I agree. We can't get relief on a line if we don't know exactly where the line is.
Well, it's going to be an important line in this case.
Yeah.
It's going to be an important dimension to get at.
I'm going to dig the front peg out tomorrow. The back peg is dead.
If the corner markers are there, then it's going to be that much easier and less expensive, you know, to verify this line. But I think it would be very good to have an impartial third party surveyor, you know, a licensed surveyor.
They won't charge that much. Just come down. They'll shoot that line. They'll put two stakes behind the shed to tell you exactly what the distances are. They just. I just don't think we can guess at that. And it won't, I don't believe that will be very expensive because I've had lines run for me. I mean, what you know, I'm willing to make a motion to hold it over to the next meeting. Keep it open so that we can have, and then we could ask you to have the line mark so we know exactly what the setback is. And if there was a building permit that you've been told to the CMO, that you could get a copy of that for us and have it for us to see.
And the other thing that can be done, while the surveyor is there striking the line, I would also say that the surveyor should then also locate the shed and get the setback distance exactly.
Right. He has to give us the exact setback. So there's no, because a licensed surveyor is going to say, is he 5.5 feet or is a foot? I mean, he's going to tell us.
And what we do with these pegs as homeowners, sometimes we don't do it exactly right either. And pegs can shift.
Well, somebody might have been mowing the lawn and picked one up at some time and put it back in.
Yeah. And sometimes
I've seen that happen.
I think it's a serious matter, and I think we're trying to handle it with a serious. We want to be fair to everybody involved, and I know that that's not always easy, but we try. But I do think we need to know exactly what the line, the distance is between the shed and the line. And I know that has an impact on you, Mr. Dunn, but I think our goal here is to have this be done. And I think the only way we can do that is to make sure that we have all of our information correct and decide, make a decision based off of that.
And if it has been 15 years in the making, another 30 days might be worthwhile.
Well, to establish the facts. We have some factual, there are some facts that are in dispute. Well, we need to know. So we would like to do. And we would like to have the survey.
Will they issue a building permit 1 foot off the line? Or even five?
I would ask that, but I can only make that motion if that's acceptable with you.
If this is what we have to do, then well, let's go. I need to put this behind.
Well, and I think that's
this
what
is ridiculous.
Right. And believe me, we're not trying to make this any more difficult than what we have to. But I think it's important that we do what we know. Due diligence is always important. And I think this is due diligence. So I'm willing to make a motion to hold it over, keep this hearing open to the next meeting to have that you will get a defined distance from the surveyor of where that is sitting from the line. And you'll see if you can get a copy of the building permit for us from the building department.
And the certificate of
occupancy. Yes. I'll be able to track down the building permit, the CC or whatever it was that was issued, if it was issued tomorrow when I'm here.
All right, so he'll follow up on that for
us. Okay. So I'll save you one step. I'll find out about that immediately, and if I find copies, I will make copies for the file, and I'll email them to the board.
Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay. It's okay. All right, so I'll let you.
No, I
so once they're in the file, they are a public record. They're obviously a public record, but they'll
according to Mr. Tremblay, he couldn't find it.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll make a motion that appeal number 8819 that we hold it open until the next meeting.
A second amendment.
Discussion?
Mr. Holmes?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. So that's what we'll do.
Thank you
public
very much.
The public hearing is still open, so anybody can come and discuss.
Right, you can come. Anybody can come to the next meeting?
Yeah, just so anybody who's here tonight for this understands, the date of the next meeting will be our October meeting. That is the fourth Wednesday, which is October 23rd at 7 p.m.
And mark that down because you
in this
won't
room.
Get a letter. You won't get a letter.
You will not get re-notified.
When we hold over a hearing, you won't get re-notified. So it's very important that you write that 23rd. Date down.
Excuse me, you did say the 23rd, right?
23rd. And as soon as you can get confirmation from a surveyor in that intervening time, the better off we are.
Now, is there a surveyor that the town uses? Or?
I have a list. I can't recommend anybody, it's not what we do, but I do have a list of surveyors who we see often with applications to the department.
We appreciate your working with us. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Yep, thank you.
Okay.
So we actually have an applicant here who hasn't built it.
Don't get stressed.
That was way too good. We should have went first because I was stressed out.
Why didn't I get somebody to go 6 months?
Oh, wow.
I didn't get any of that. Wait a minute. Is this the one you just gave?
Yeah, it's staff notes for both applications.
Yeah, no, but I didn't get a drawing of mine.
You didn't get this?
No.
I have pictures. Photoshop and pictures for you guys.
You don't have an extra copy of this, or
no, I don't.
I can make an extra if you want one.
I can geo-share. I was wondering, I was trying to see this, I didn't have this.
Okay.
You just make pictures to, just for visuals.
Now, I want to make something clear about this. I don't think this should impact me as a board member, but we rented, the agency that I'm the head of maintenance for rented that house from the time it was built until it was sold to them.
Yep.
I'm very familiar with this.
Well, just disclose it, that's fine.
So I'm just disclosing that I was the maintenance person.
Look at you with the fancy.
That was nice Photoshop, right?
Wow.
No.
This
house
right now,
that house, CWI rented for, I don't know, who hasn't been there?
There's been a long time.
10 years or 15 years, I don't know, 10 plus, I've been there 36 years, and it seems like 3, but anyway.
So you know the property?
I know the property very well. I know it has a very overbuilt septic system because it was put in for us. I know that takes up the whole back area.
Yes.
We built that large deck down the back. It was well built.
Yeah.
It was well built.
No, I like we actually love the deck.
Yeah.
But that's the problem with the.
Let me just start the process. And next appeal is appeal number 820. Which is a request of Tanya Barrows and Brittany Captain of 366 Reynolds Road, Monroe, New York, 12828, for a area variance pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 10, Section 149-59A. Applicants are requesting to construct a pole barn that will not meet the required side yard setback. This property is located in R2 zoning district and is designated as such 63.4-2-9 in the town assessment. That is just practice by means.
We didn't get any correspondence on this one.
No correspondence.
And just to confirm, the amount of relief requested is along two planes, a side yard and the rear yard. The side yard is 11 feet of relief or 73%, and the rear yard setback is 25 feet of relief or 83% requested. And the other thing I was not aware of when I wrote my staff notes is the location of the septic tank area. That was not, I didn't understand that to be the location. So that also.
It looks like it's right next to the.
It's right there,
It runs right along the.
So that also further constricts the feasible options.
All right, now tell us who you are.
So I'm Tanya Barrows. I'm Brady Catlin. So what we want to do is you put up a pole barn to, because there's no garage. And where we want to put it, you can see in the picture, it's going right off of the where the pavement ends, just because we need, because of backing out of this road, we like to pull, turn around in that one area, that blacktop area, but we can't go too far over, because like you said, the septic and all that's right there, so we wanted to start right on our driveway line, and then come over, basically, as far as we can, just to get it to, a two-car, and then, so we want some leeway off the back, because we want that one to turn around in that little pavement area.
So, could you come up and just show us what you're
So this one here, this is what we're saying, how we want to be able to turn around right here.
We're going to turn around right here.
Okay, so I'm looking at this picture.
Okay, so this one,
Yeah, they'll be turning around that
but they bought in front of the building.
Right.
Because that was we used to have a van park right there. That was put there so they could unload and go. There used to be a back ramp right there.
Yeah.
Not to interrupt, the septic is right off that deck, correct? Between the deck and the driveway?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
That's where the septic tank is.
Right in this area.
And then it goes, yeah. And then the leach field goes straight back with that.
And the leach field is back behind it.
It's going to be next to the deck.
So we want to basically just narrow in right on what we have available.
That's about all you have.
So the primary purpose being served here is a two-car garage?
Well, it's going to be more of a pole barn, just because garages are more expensive. But basically to protect our stuff. Right now, my kayaks are covered up and one more thing.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I can see the 22 feet of width for a two-car accommodation, but the depth of 36 feet.
Because I have also two kids, so we have four cars in the driveway. I said I got all my junk, my lawnmower, all that stuff where I have to, because the property came with a shed, but it's tiny.
Well, just in the interest of arriving at the most minimal amount of relief feasible, so you're saying you need the full 36 feet of depth.
Well, we're two car truck. I have a bigger truck, so two truck lengths, I would say.
Oh, so you're going to pull both cars in end to end?
Yeah, that was
that's
the plan.
Okay.
Just to get them all in. My son also has a truck, and then my youngest will be driving.
All right, so this is intended on four vehicle storage?
Yeah.
All are. Okay.
It'll be tight.
I'll answer that.
Yeah, it's going to be tight. I mean, and that's why we kind of pull it that way, and then we can back out and turn around into this part.
The other thing I tried to point out in my staff notes is that this is county forest land behind.
Right. So how much side lines is it?
It's 15 required, 6 feet is proposed.
And of course that has to be E.
When we bought the house, we didn't realize the septic was where it was, so we didn't think there was even going to be an issue. We were kind of surprised when we saw the... Because we weren't presented... Actually, we came here back.
Oh, you never saw them?
No, we just bought it in July. We bought it in July and actually came in a couple weeks later and got the map.
Oh, so you're the second people, because there was somebody else.
Yeah, you were there for about 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this the actual building?
No, not there. I photoshopped down there just to give you guys a visual.
Okay.
Just to help see it.
So what kind of a building is it?
It's just going to be like a pole barn.
I understand that. Okay, so, but is it going to be are there going to be eaves?
Yeah, probably, because that doesn't matter. It's a pole barn, it's going to have eaves. And whatever relief we give is going to be to the eaves.
You understand what I'm saying? The overhang
right.
of the roof.
So not the wall, he's saying, at the
right.
furthest point.
Yeah,
wall building is not the furthest point. The end of the roof is the furthest
point.
Okay. Right, so that's where that has to end. So when you laid this, when you measured this based on your lines and the leach field, are you as close to the leach field with this as you could be?
I think so. I had the guy that's going to build it did all the measuring for me. He just asked for me to do the 4 foot. So I'm just assuming, he does this stuff for a living, so I think that he would consider that.
Well, yeah, that's important.
It is. It matters, yeah.
I think my calculations were wrong, and I want to correct that in the record. They have 6 feet side yard setback proposed. So it would be leaving 9 feet. There would be 9 feet of relief. So 9 divided by 15 is 60% relief. And off the rear setback is actually supposed to be 30 feet, and they are proposing 10. Feet of setback, so that's about 66% of relief. Just want to correct that.
So it would be 20 foot relief?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 20 feet is being requested. No, the rear setback, it's a quirk in our code. The rear setback is exceptionally wide. It's 30 feet.
Oh, I realized that. I thought it was 15 feet.
What's the double?
And we even tried to send pictures of around the side, because the side yard was like a slant, so we couldn't even make something on the other side to be able to park. I think there's one picture in there just showing that where the slant is.
The slant side.
On the other side, yeah, so we couldn't even, and of course the deck is right there as well, so it's, doesn't give us, I couldn't even put in a swinging gate when I got my, because it's so slanted.
That's on the other side.
Right. Well, that's what we're saying. We just put it, because we were trying to think of every angle of where we could put this to be able to, you know, protect the vehicles and whatnot, and that one work over there.
One of the criteria is that you need to consider whether the request area is substantial. And this is substantial. Now, this lot is smaller.
Yes, this is not. This is a pre-existing non-conforming lot, right? It was 100
yes.
foot wide.
Yeah, this is a pretty small lot.
It was 100 foot wide and like 150 foot deep.
It's only 18,974 square feet.
Yeah, plus and it was a pre-existing. And I know that we don't do this, but we usually, or I say, I shouldn't say that we don't do this. I do know that in the past, what has been done in those cases is that the pre-existing setbacks on a pre-existing non-conforming lot were used. Now, if that was the case, wasn't it 10 feet on the sideline?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that in the respect of the sideline, we would only really, if I'm legitimate in what I'm saying, and I do know for a fact that that has been done, that's how the house that's on 197 that's on the 50 foot wide lot ended up being on that 50 foot wide lot because that was a pre existing non conforming lot. And that was only built, what, 6 years ago? And never had to come before us. Because they could build a house with 10-foot setbacks, sideline setbacks. So, am I wrong to say that we can base this off of the fact that it's a pre-existing non-conforming 100-foot lot, that the setbacks for that for 10-foot?
It does enter into the your reasoning. I can say that. It can. And I can also say it's been long-standing practice that The 10-foot setback is used on sheds. There is an exception made for sheds. So, the fact this is a garage, it's being held.
It's a little bit different, but I honestly feel comfortable in making the note that this is a 100-foot lot when we were building properties, building homes on 100-foot wide lots when they were a legitimate size lot for a residential home. The side setback line were 10 feet.
And I got to tell you, from my standpoint, in the new code, this is one of the things that I'm going to suggest we change is that rear setback in the R2.
It's not 30.
It's too much.
It is too much.
Because if you apply, in this case, for example, the 40-foot setback and the 30-foot setback on this lot, even for the house,
right.
And then each of the respective 15-foot and side yards, you have a very small envelope.
To build the house on.
And there's a lot of pre-existing lots in R2 that are in this similar circumstance.
I agree. So I think that we need to put that in consideration as we're looking.
Yes.
So basically, we don't have
anybody here that is for meeting asking, but we have people here. Are they here to have any questions about this?
We were here. We wanted to talk about something that isn't probably on your agenda.
Oh, all right. So you're waiting until we're done. All right. Yes. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't excluding you from this if you had questions.
No, I
say
they
can feel
a bit
bolder. We're going with
her. Well, sounds good as done, huh? Strike that from the middle.
So I'm going to just go over the criteria.
Okay.
We just really discussed number three, which is whether the request for area variance is substantial. It is, but given the undersized lot, it makes it somewhat less substantial.
Yep.
The first one is whether an undesirable change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to nearby properties will be created by the granting of the area variance.
I don't see it. We didn't get any letters from the neighbors. We didn't get any correspondence.
Nothing came in.
And we even approached our one neighbor on that side.
You went to the neighbor
on
that side.
She didn't answer.
We went there a couple of times. But she's an older woman, and she drives in and out of her garage, so we don't even know really what she looks like. Her son actually came over and mowed one night, so, she doesn't go outside. I don't even know her.
But she would have gotten notification.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So we haven't heard anything from the neighbors. From what I see of that area, there are several older homes in that area. Different configuration. The next is whether the benefits sought by the applicant can be achieved by some method feasible for the applicant to pursue other than an area variance. And you discussed the fact that you've got four vehicles for people resident on that property that you're trying to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also trying to protect the ability to get in and out of there without backing onto Route 197, which I think would be a very dangerous.
You don't want to back on that.
That's a very much of safety concern.
There's certain times of day you don't want to drive out of your driveway. That's all I'm doing.
I avoid as much as I can. The next we talked about the being substantial, and the fourth is whether proposed variance will have an adverse effect or impact on physical and environmental conditions in the neighborhood or district. I don't see that. I think we kind of answered that with your neighbor and all the rest of stuff, but I also think that the fact that it's kind of forced in the back makes a difference in terms of that back setback. It's really not going to have a substantial impact or create an adverse effect or impact on that. And the next is whether the alleged difficulty was self-created, which consideration shall be relevant, but does not necessarily preclude the granting of the area variance. And I don't see this as being self-created other than the fact that you want four vehicles. And that's just reasonable.
No, I can understand that she wouldn't have expected to have that large septic system.
Well, yeah,
that's a very large septic system.
You're kind of penned in there. If you want to use that driveway, you want to still turn around, but you want to have a turnaround and you don't want to be on top of your range. So you can blame that on CWI.
Yes. Stretch that from there.
All right. So, having reviewed the, and we don't have any comments from the public.
I would just also note that it's not subject to seeker.
We have any comments from the board, any further discussion or questions?
I'll make a motion. I word it badly because this is an undersized, pre-existing non-conforming
undersized
lot.
Correct. And we also, I just wanted to understand the setback is how wide are the eaves on this building?
We didn't tell them that part.
Well, I think that.
Eaves is basically said we're going to build it he had told me those are the measurements to ask for.
My point is, I was just in the resolution you're going to consider reference the building wall.
It's going to be.
You know, I know we always do from the eave, but whatever, it's just going to be easier for us to measure. If she doesn't know the eave width, then we should do the wall. And.
If we give it, let's say she's asking for 6 feet off the line, so we're given 90-foot relief. If that goes to the wall, she's got a 12-inch eave.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We should just make sure we specify so when Matt goes out there to check on the CO that we have a reference point. Because we don't know how wide the eave is.
But you still want to go with the eave, don't you?
Yes, I understand. That's a measurement for the setback.
Right.
But in terms of the relief granted, if you give 6, then we're acknowledging it's 5. That's my point. I just want that understood. Because I think she was measuring from the wall. I would expect.
So you're saying that it should.
He said that because we're the 22 feet, when Carl and I measured, there's plenty of room by the septic or the leach field, so I'm assuming he included.
If he's going to try, see, that was what I was
there was plenty of room.
That was what I was looking at. I was looking at the way he drew that in there. It looks to me like he could move it further towards the
leach field. I just want to make sure we.
So my thought was, is that I would hope he's a builder.
Right. No.
I would hope he would have given himself this. I'm thinking he gave himself enough room to do that.
But no, he's got a job. He's got a 22-foot width, which you need for a garage. You do that. He got 32-foot off the wall. He's only got 4 feet against that septic. So he didn't draw the eave in here. It'd be 12 inches added. So really, they're going to be within 5 feet of the property line. He's drawn the foundation in here, clearly 22 by 36.
That's a basic. That's what I think as well.
For a garage, it's meant to money for it. 18 foot is actually short for the trucks.
Well, I don't know what exactly that is. I'm not sure that's 4 foot. The 22 by
22 is 10 minus 6 is 4. So
he's got a dimension between the wall and septic, the line and septic. 32. That's the house.
Yep.
That's septic.
Point being, though, he doesn't have a 12-inch Deshaun. You have a 22 by
36. I understand that. That's what I'm saying. But he's got enough room. The 12 inches, I don't really want to make it 5 feet off the line. I want to make it 6 feet off the line, and he can move it towards the leach field.
And you have to be able to get 10 foot off the back property line versus the 15 foot we usually try to maintain on the back.
I feel they are because of the length of this county line.
Because that's my only concern I have with it. One overall size. It is 22 by 36. So it's not much smaller than the footprint of the house that's sitting there right now. And then, so that's the one concern. And I don't know if we can't cheat that extra 5 foot forward. There's a sizable turnaround area shown here. And I don't know if we cheat that big 5 foot forward, that's for that the detriment to that turnaround area.
I park right now where it would be. And with my truck, it's pretty tight as it is. Like, I have to pull up and then come back out.
There's not a lot of room.
There's not a lot of room back there.
It's a very that would be, I think, very tight.
I just want to make sure they understand that where the measurement is being taken from. I think it's easiest to do from the wall, and actually measure.
You're going to let the eave go over and go from the wall?
Right.
You think that's what we should do?
Well, I just think it's got to be a lot easier to locate this, when we go out to check it against the approval, to locate the wall than it is the eave, especially in light of the fact we don't know the width of the eave.
Well, I don't have a problem with that, except for I would have to have, if I was to make a motion, it would have to include that it can have no larger than a 12-inch eave. It would have to have that in there, because if we do it off the line, and we don't know what the eave is going to be, if we do it off the wall, and we don't know what the eave is going to be, I mean, they build buildings with 24-inch eaves. So that concerns me. The only way I would consider that is if I'm able to put into the relief that it's off the wall, but it can be no more than a 12-inch eave.
I see your point.
Well, essentially, we're bringing a 5 foot.
Right.
But if we go into
and I think even off the gable end, you might be looking at the same amount of overhang, so it could be in both directions.
And what we've always done is just put it in the
supported the overhang.
We've always had the overhang.
Well, except that's where the setback is measured from by definition. That's correct. I'm just saying, I think this application came in, I assume they measured from the wall, and they weren't aware of the eave.
And I understand that. So I haven't got a problem with doing it to the wall, but I would like written in that it can have no larger than a 12-inch eave.
All right. If this is a prefabricated building, though, you're going to make darn sure, because those are not things easily cut. Huh?
No, he's building it.
Okay.
He's having a pole barn.
Okay. All right. As long as it's not prefabricated.
What they photoshopped is not what she's
having. Yeah, that's not really.
I understand he's building it, but it is very likely that they have a pre-engineered, pre-manufactured truss that they're going to bring in and set on, you know, the poles. So that truss is going to have a built-in eave.
Right. He's going to have to have. I don't, like I said, I don't have to go under the wall, so he can't have more than 12 inches.
All right. So you're hearing tonight that they're willing to go to the.
I'm suggesting, instead of trying to have the caveat, instead of trying to explain it and do it, if we stay to our normal practice, they've got a fence line here. If that was 5 foot, and we did it to the eave like we normally do, we said 5 foot instead of 6 here, so we're looking for a 50% of the eave now. And then off the back, we give them the same off the 10 foot off of the property line, off from the back. So
that's the eaves. Well, that was
going on. Same in the eaves, and that'd be your buildings that you'd have that compensated for as dimensions. And we just do it 5 foot.
But I think
the side here instead of the 6 you guys are drawing.
And we stick with the top of the eaves.
And we stick with off the eaves.
All right, I agree. I just want everybody to understand. All
right, so we'll do 5 foot of the
off the eaves on the sideline. Well, it'll be more.
That
would be 10 foot.
Off the 15, but be the non-conforming off the 10 is 50%, right? Which is less than 60%.
Right, no, I agree. So it goes back to what I said, it's non-conforming previously.
I'll make that motion that we include this with a 5 foot side setback, 10 foot rear setback. So they can build it to the dimensions that they wanted here to accommodate for large vehicles.
Okay.
But just make sure you then push the building back. If it's an 18-inch eave, the building's got to be 18 inches further away.
And the building wall. All this so we have all the numbers.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's
no, you're gonna get a notice of decision.
Okay.
That'll happen.
Your builder doesn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If he doesn't know that, you better have him know.
No, I figured it'd be easier for me just to hand a piece of paper and then try to explain what you guys just said.
So we're talking about this rear setback in the motion is still 10 feet. So, you know, if you want, if that 10 feet is to your wall, you may have to push that forward.
Correct. It's off the edge of the eave and the edge of the overhang for the gable end.
Oh, that should be that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll
work. Sounds good to me.
All right.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Would you call the board, please?
Mr. Elms?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
So that's 5 foot side, 10 foot rear.
Yes.
Okay.
That was a plan.
All right.
We weren't bad.
That was longer than the first one.
You don't know that.
It pays to come in before you build it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
And it appears that we have some other business.
We're on the business.
Yes.
So I'm here a little bit before you get the information on this, but we had been to the Board of Supervisors meeting last night, and this is about a project that's going to be taking place or submitted for Old West Road, which includes a brewery, as of this point that I know, a brewery, a bar, an amphitheater, and a solar array and several other projects that's going to be on that. And we're here as neighbors of that to voice our opinion that we don't want this agricultural property, even though it is has M2 zoning for very light industry. We don't want to have all that sort of other stuff on this property.
Can you tell us who you are and where you live?
Oh, I'm Eleanor Stein, and I live at 210 Washburn Road. And this proposal is is approximately a half mile from my house.
It's on Old West Road.
Mm-hmm. It's on Old West. Old West is a very difficult turn off of
Route 9. I don't know if any of you guys make it from either direction. It's a very difficult turn, and it's also a very windy road. And we feel, and these are other neighbors who live somewhere else, and the man who was there and left a little earlier also lives farther down the street. We feel that we don't want to have a drinking establishment in agricultural farmland, especially on a street that's very, very dark, has no lighting, and that is windy and difficult to traverse at its best. The other thing about this is we have a lot of bicyclists that come down our street. We have a lot of horses, people who ride their horses down our street to go up to the park, to Monroe Park. And there's a lot of industry and people going in and out to this brewery and more trucks. And also people coming in to do tasting that it just wouldn't be conducive to our farmland in peace.
Hey, my name is Stephanie Oakley, and I live at 325 Old West Road, so it would really directly affect both our property and our two young children. Our property has been subject to vandalism by intoxicated drivers twice in the past 2 years. 2 years ago, a woman three times the legal limit took out the fire hydrant at the edge of our property and ended up in our yard. And we were woken up by county sheriffs at 3 a.m. With our children in the house. And it's the same area where our swing set is. And then this past August, a man driving drunk drove through my yard, took out my children's slide, and crashed into a tree on my property, where I was, like, we were getting ready to go to bed for the night. And I had to call 911 because I honestly thought I was up on the corner. And you can imagine when you pull out of you're coming out of your driveway to see, like, is anyone injured? Because it's a dark area up there. I'm on the corner of Route 9 and Old West. And to see if a car crash into your tree and your children slide under the car. Then the man got out of the car, packed a backpack, and took off into the woods. So I then had to call 911 again, because even though we are minutes from the barracks for the troopers, there's protocols, and we have no local police. So then it went to the park police and the sheriffs, and they drove past our house. They couldn't find our house. And this man took off on foot, I got in the car and identified him on the phone with the 911 dispatcher, the same dispatcher who I had just spoken to. So I don't think there's enough support in that respect. And I was placated and told that I was being irrational for calling when this man was leaving the scene of an accident, so intoxicated that he thought when I was in my car, like, IDing him, that I was letting him cross Route 9. And he waved to me, like, hey, thanks, and headed into the woods. And then finally, when the sheriffs figured out where they were supposed to be going, they flew up my neighbor's driveway, woke them up, because they were sleeping. They're surrounding the woods. I mean, this is chaos that has occurred without any facility providing alcohol. And it took till 2 a.m. for the car to be removed off of my property. Then it was almost $2,000 worth of damage because a flatbed truck had to come. The guy tossed his keys. They just dragged the Subaru across the lawn and just destroyed the lawn. And I don't understand, like, I'm sorry, but, like, my kids played, we were there, like, the night before.
Oh, yeah.
So, outside playing, and for my kids to be jeopardized safety-wise, it's terribly disturbing, and part of why we moved to where we moved was because, like, we heard what a great sense of community and how safe things were. And, you know, that small town feel where we were so close to Saratoga and Glens Falls that we could get more of like the city like environment if that's what we wanted. And you know, it scares me. Our son just started kindergarten. Our bus stops at the end of the driveway. You know, if people and on his way home, he has to cross Old West the way the route is. So I have to trust that people are going to stop when they see the school bus, so my son can cross safely to get to our driveway after school. It's terribly disturbing to think that someone would like to promote that kind of alcohol. I mean, I'm not a martyr, but I think we have to look at the impact. And you know, my kids get to run free in a sense because we sit on almost an acre of property, and there's a carefree feel that they have when they're running around the yard, and they didn't get to play in that area of their yard where their swing set was, and the pirate ship with the slide that was taken out, and nobody came to clean the glass. We had to clean it, and our dog couldn't go out in that area, nor could our children, because there was glass everywhere. We found beer bottles that were left behind, headlights. And the same with the woman who took out the fire hydrant. I'm sure it's got to be in the record somewhere that the fire hydrant had to be replaced because she hit it so hard it flipped. It was many
times. I'm here. You know, there's another gentleman in the back.
I'm Mark Moore. My family owns a little Stonebridge farm by Clark Road. It's a 235-acre farm. I own land on Sulphur Road, 55 acres. I was here for the garden cotton. I know it was football. I'm just saying. Once you start coming up the shed, the first appeal, I couldn't leave.
You had him at the shed.
I own a lot of land, and I'm invested with land. I own property at Sulphur. I bought the crappiest place on Sulphur Road. I demolished it. It's probably the most beautiful place in Sulphur Road. But I put it for sale recently because I had a neighbor next door before I started investing a lot of money into my property, more than I already did. It's kind of similar to the gentleman, so it's kind of a. Well, I can relate.
Just to,
I don't think this is coming before us.
Well, just to provide some clarity about what's being spoken of here, this is a project that initially came in as a planned unit development.
I was next door to that garden, with my 55 acres and so.
The Old West.
The
Old West Road references to a project that initially. Actually, it was initially thought to be a grain hub that was going to process grains and hops and things of that nature into a usable state for microbreweries up and down the Hudson Valley. And it transformed into a planned unit development application that, as reference was made to, included a solar farm, a brewery, an amphitheater, tasting room, bar type of a function. And that was presented to the town board because, as required, all planned unit developments start with the town board as a change to the zoning code. The property owner decided to scale back from that and is now proposing a brewery, a tasting room, bar facility with some opportunity for entertainment. As it was described to me. They've asked for a formal determination from me as to how this fits into the town zoning code, and I'm consulting with the town attorney to make sure we're on solid ground, and I'm going to issue a written determination, as requested. But the reference was made, and it is correct, it is in an M2 zone, which is one of our industrial zones, that does allow for light manufacturing as a site plan review use. And my early feeling is, although this is not the final determination, is that is the brewing aspect of this is a light manufacturing function. You're making a product. But that's as far as I think we can go, based on what I've heard. I don't think that the, in my opinion, and I have yet to, again, I want to finalize this after I consult with the attorney, but, you know, the early indication is that the other aspects of this are not going to be, you know, allowed as an M2.
So as a planned unit development, we wouldn't get this at all?
No. And so only if they vary from the code will you get this, whether it's use or area in some respect.
And there is a possibility that we might get this as use variance.
Correct. At some point. Now, the other factor that's going to come into play is the Ag and Markets Law and how broadly that's interpreted. You know, for me, I have the responsibility of the determination against the local zoning code. I think it's pretty certain here as to what is allowed and what's not. From what I read, and again, it's only one person's reading out of the Ag and Market Law, I think I read that there is an appeal process or arbiter process that is taken over by the Commissioner of Ag and Markets. But that's, you know, that's just one person's reading of the law. That's, again, why I'm consulting with our attorney. So, but I did invite everybody here tonight, if they'd like to come into my office and see the plan, discuss this in detail, get further information.
They must be going to the town board meetings, right?
They went last night.
I went last night.
And see, what I think happened is a reference was made, well, this is in planning and zoning right now.
Yeah.
And I think people thought, okay, zoning board of appeals, I should come to this meeting. So, and it's easily understood why they would feel that way.
We're glad that you came in and gave us your...
And this is a public record. Everything you said will be in the minutes of this meeting. And I encouraged the people here, as well as another gentleman left, to come in and see me tomorrow or Tuesday, because the final determination is in process. This is still...
Just in case any of you were driving down Route 9... Try and make that turn into Old West. Just, you know,
I've been down there several times myself.
Yeah, in either direction, it's a terrible turn. It's a really horrible turn in the winter.
But I just want you to know, you know, what you say has meaning. You know, I encourage you to come in, you know, and get the full explanation and see me. I'll be happy to answer any questions I can.
And there's about 30 other people. Right.
I'm sure as it moves along, we'll hear more from every
And I'm happy to keep people in the loop too. If you give me your emails and things, I can stay in contact. Yep. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for sitting through the duration.
Yeah.
It was better than watching TV, right?
Yeah.
Never go home.
All right, just one other item of business. We were looking for a meeting on October 3rd about that first zoning meeting, but I had a conflict, so we're shooting for the 10th now, October 10th, for that, about the code. The code, you know, just having a general workshop discussion.
I don't need it. Remember, I'm going away for the 2 weeks for Carlisle, Hershey. I'm leaving Monday, and I won't be back until, let's see, maybe I will be back on time. Is that the Columbus Day? After Columbus Day?
I don't know when Columbus Day falls this year.
It's like the 14th.
Where's the...
The 10th falls on a Thursday.
No, I'll be down at Hershey. I won't be back until the 12th. I'll come back on the 12th.
Well, any chance you can come in and see me? You know, just individually?
Yeah.
Do that.
Like tomorrow, maybe?
Yeah.
You're here one hour, you're here
tomorrow? 1 to 4. And Tuesday's 9 to 1 every week.
Well, I'm gone Monday.
All right, well, if you want to come in tomorrow and give me your thought. And it's not your last shot at the apple, so there's going to be plenty of opportunities. But I just want to get everybody's early background, general information.
So that's the preliminary thing we talked about?
Yes. Yes. Yep. It's going to be intended to invite the Planning Board, Zoning Board of Appeals, and the Town Board, and any other members of the public who'd like to participate.
Yeah, I didn't want to miss that. I remember I told you I'll be gone for 2 weeks by October. Just like I gave you the application.
A bat in a thousand.
I think you're going to get rid of me.
No. Well, come see me tomorrow.
I will do that.
Okay, any further business?
That's that